Oh, Jesus, we adore you. We love you. Lord, we just love you. We magnify you. We give you honor. We give you praise, Lord. You are indeed so good. Lord, we just love you, Lord. We love you, God. We worship you. Our heart adores you, God. Our heart adores you, God. We worship you. We praise you, Lord. We praise you. We praise you. We praise you. We praise you, oh Lord. We praise you, Jesus. Because there is no one like you, Lord. There's no one like you, Lord. We worship you. Hallelujah. We praise you, Lord. We worship you, God. Yes, there a new song in you. Because I believe there's a stirring of the waters. Is there a new song within? Open your mouth and you will feel it. Open your mouth and you will feel it. Is there a new song? Open your mouth and sing. Sing in the spirit. Sing in the spirit, sing in the spirit. Sing in the spirit. So, Lord, we just thank you, Father. We thank you, Lord Jesus. We thank you, Lord God, because this meeting, this is your meeting, Jesus. This is your meeting, and Lord, we thank you that every word that you have for us, we already receive it with all of our heart, with all of our soul. So, as I just waited on the Lord, really waited on the Lord for your house, for your precious church. And I just want to say thank you so much, Pastor John, for having me at a relatively short notice. And thank you so, so very much. And anybody wanted to, you know, Pastor Mike and Pastor Debbie said, Pastor John is such a nice man. And I say that, and Pastor Debbie said to say hello to you yesterday. But when I said, don't tell me more beyond the fact that he's nice, because I want the Holy Spirit to tell me the rest, what he wants me to say to the house. That's my usual. Before I go anywhere, I never ask anyone, tell me. I didn't even ask you. I never ask, tell me about your church. Because if I say that, then if anything, like last Sunday, Pastor said everything I said was 100% accurate. But if I ever ask someone, it's always because she told you. But, you know, one of the things I sense very strongly about this church, that when I think of you, when I think about this church, I just see a strong, I just sense a strong presence of love, right? I just sense a strong presence of love. That is hallelujah. Yes. So I waited on the Lord. I said, show me what he wants me to share today. And so there were several things that the Lord shared with me. And so it's like there's several messages in one message, even though there is one message that is more dominant than the other. So ever since I've been thinking about this church, like for several weeks now, I've just been seeing what you call like E-Y-E, a big I, and then eyes to see. And I felt that the Lord will that there's been such a strong desire. You're already, you know, I know, you know, this is a prophetic church. But there is an outpouring of seeing the Lord wants to release to for you to even see in a deeper way, like even more clearer, because we could all see clearer, right? And so as I was even thinking about that vision, I'm thinking about specifically prophets, that the prophetic seers seeing more even into the realm of the spirit. But this is, it's like you're coming on a journey with me as you listen. So as I was waiting on the Lord, what is it that we were supposed to see more, that we were supposed to see clearer, that we were supposed to see deeper? And then the Lord brought to my remembrance, there was a vision that he showed me a few years ago. It was a dream. It was a vision in a dream. And in the dream, I saw, I was in a house. And as I stood within that house, I saw, you know, like these windows. And the windows seemed as if they were blurry, that you couldn't see in the outside. And then as I looked at that, I saw a hand, but the hand was, I couldn't see the body, it was just a huge hand. I saw a hand, and the hand came, and it was holding a jar of water. And that water splashed on the windows, and suddenly everything was clear. And everything was clear, suddenly, you could then see from inside, you could see the outside. And one of the things that the Lord put on my heart, that this is a church without walls. This is a church without walls. This is a church. So I said to, I was like, eyes to see, but what? To even see clearly, to even see deeper. Because sometimes we already knew, we had a vision. We had what we call like a DNA. Like I believe every church, I have my own DNA, harvest of the nations. The Lord said is to harvest the nations, an anointing for the nations to come into a great harvest. And so every church has a DNA. Every church has a DNA. But what I find is that sometimes, like years ago, God gives you a vision, right? And then somehow we can lose either the whole vision or parts of it, or we need to refocus, right? And then so what I see is that there's a huge move of the Spirit of God to release that waters that I saw, and I'm going to talk about the river of God. That one of the things that the river of God does in that sense of the vision I saw, the power, the waters just bring clarity so that we can see a church without walls. A church without walls. And so that's why I was so excited, sir, when you were giving that prophecy, right? A church without walls. What does that mean? You are standing. I don't want to preach the same message that I preached in the other church last Sunday, because I said there were a city set on a hill, but I'm not going to say the same thing here. But no. That was, and they kept laughing right from when I started. They said, oh, everybody will come. That's what they tell us. Anyway. But you see that right outside there in the city. I mean, you got it right in you. You were saying, come on, take it. Yeah. Right? Isn't that what you were saying? Take this city. Take it. Take it. You see right. You see correctly. You see correctly. And I'm sure all of you, many of us have seen it too. But when we see, what do we do? You know, right. And you see, when you look outside there, wow, that you begin to see clearly. We are a church with our walls. We are a church without walls. We are a church. And what does that mean? When we see that we're a church without walls, then we refocus. And then we see that, wow, the purpose of this church is for those that are outside there. The lost, the broken, and the wounded. Yeah. Right? Yeah. I love to preach the gospel wherever I go. It's a lifestyle for me. In Walmart, wherever, on the street, I talk to people about Jesus. And I see lots of people coming to Christ. Right? But I remember when I came to North Carolina and I said, hey, why don't we go out and preach the gospel? And my host that was hosting me at the time in Raleigh, and she said, oh, but everybody in North Carolina basically knows the Lord. I said, mm-hmm. I said, what? He said, well, when you ask them, they always say they believe in Jesus. I'm like, well, when they say they believe in Jesus, do you ask them, what do you believe about him? I said, let's go to the flea market in Raleigh and let's see. So we went to the flea market in Raleigh, and to be honest, the first few people that I spoke to, they were really born again, because I asked them a lot of questions. Yes, we are saved. I knew they were. I was like, It can't be. There must be people in this market. There must be. And it's like the laser eyes of God. Boom! Go to that guy right there. So I saw this youngish looking guy, like in his 20s. He's selling some kind of whatever. So I went to him. First thing I asked him, do you believe in Jesus? And guess what he said? He said, yes. I said, okay, so you believe he's the Son of God? He was like, not exactly. He didn't believe he was the Son of God. Didn't believe in his divinity. In fact, he believed the strangest things about him. Ah, that he was just a good man. Ah, he believed in Muhammad and all those kind of stuff. So as I stood with him for 30 minutes, I was like, I'm not letting go of this one. I found one who, I'm not letting go. But as we are talking, guess what's happening? The Holy Spirit. This river that I see is a river of God. It's a power of God for conviction. Right? So as I'm speaking to him, the Spirit is convicting him. And then he said, oh, you know, he had a lot of misgiving. I'm just trying to tell you what kind of things he was saying. And then he said, oh, you know, Jesus was not perfect and he didn't believe he even died for us. I said, why do you say he's not perfect? He said, well, didn't Jesus say he was a thief? I said, no, why do you say that? Oh, I said, oh, you mean that place where he said, I will come as a thief? He said, yeah. I said, that's not what he meant. He's just saying he's going to come suddenly like you don't expect. He said, ooh, enlightenment began to come to him and the Spirit began to touch him. So he begins to believe layer by layer, more and more. I said, I'm not letting go of this one. And then he said, but I don't like the fact that you call him Jesus. Isn't his name Yeshua? I said, yes. I said, would you accept Yeshua as your savior? I said, yeah, I guess. So I said, when I went through the fire, the Holy Spirit that touched him, he believed everything. Okay, say this prayer. And I, when I say, Jesus, come into my heart, he absolutely said all the prayer. He received Jesus. He was ready to go to church. I was able to connect him to somebody. Yes. Amen. Yes. Amen. Yes. Hallelujah. And I went further and I spoke to somebody else. And he believed in trees in the same flea market, that trees will save us. Did you ever hear a thing like that? That's silly, isn't it? He said he believed that trees are going to save us. I said, no. Again, the Holy Spirit touched him. Three people gave their life in that flea market. And so I went on. So why am I saying that? A church without walls. So when I keep on hearing eyes and I see this big eye, eyes to see, I say, God, he said, take them on. So today we're going on a journey. We're going on a journey. What do you see? You are, first of all, receive right now the revival in your heart. This is who you are. You are a church without walls, a revival of seeing and entering into what you see. The city is ripe for taking. Glory to God. That people say this is part of the, what do you call that thing again? The church belt, the Bible belt. Yes. But I bet you there are many people here who do not yet know the Lord.
Yes.
But there's so many, exactly, but it's ripe. Where are the rest? You know, Isaiah 66 says, can a nation be born in a day? Right? Could you believe enough? I saw travel all over the world. Right? People say, how can you, all those things you talk about, how old are you? How do you see all of those things? I'm like, since I was 15, I started to preach. Right? Within a few weeks, I didn't wait. I just started preaching when I had an encounter. I gave my life when I was 15 years old. Jesus came into my heart. I had a background of being severely bullied at school. The kids used to beat me a lot. I was bullied for years from the time I was 5 years old. I was self-harming my body. I wanted to kill myself. But when I was 15 years old, my sister told me, Jesus loves me. And I went into my room at 15, knelt down, asked Jesus to come into my heart. I opened my eyes. I saw a bright white light in my room. Right. And I had an encounter with him. The same day that I got saved was the same day that I knew I was meant to preach the gospel. So everywhere I went, within a few weeks, I was preaching. People would be weeping and crying out, Jesus, save me, being filled with the Holy Spirit. Right. But as I travel all over the nation, I've seen revival. amongst the Muslims, in places where sometimes people don't want to go, in hard places. In fact, this is what this book is about, Spirit-Led Evangelism. The Lord told me to actually write it, as I have prophetic dreams and all of that. So when I went into full-time ministry now, so when the pastor would say, hey, come and preach, and in the night, the Lord would give me a dream and a vision. He said, it's not just going to be preaching. I'm going to release revival if you will do this, 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 this. And then when all of that was done, revival, Italy, Haiti, so many places with the name of the pastors and the churches. But what I'm saying rather, why not here and why not now? Why not here? Why not now? So when I say I totally believe that if enough people in Virginia, even you, can say, yes, Lord, release revivals in the four corners of Virginia, in the four corners of Martinsville. Oh, Holy Spirit, can we see even in one day? Do you have faith for it? I do, and you do, and I impart into you the faith to see the great harvest, to see it come in, to see it come in, and the Lord is going to use your beautiful lives, right? When I train people on evangelism, like in London, I remember, that's why I wanted the kids to come in. The little kids, some of them catch it. The little kids, like 7, 8 years old, we go out on the street. They're talking to people and they say, hey, do you know Jesus loves you? And there's nobody who can be nasty to a kid, right? They get it. They're like, yay. They stop people on the street. Hi, how are you? Do you know Jesus loves you and he died for you? Now, you know, I have a school of ministry. In my school, I have people of all ages. My youngest was 6 years old. I had her preach a sermon on Zoom. She was preaching with fire. She said, Lord, touch my generation. Amen. The fire of the Holy Spirit. Now, I train people of all ages. Why is that? In this time, in this day, in this season, I believe the Holy Spirit is saying all hands on deck. Amen. Right? Amen. So that was one of the things that I saw. Right? So what do you see outside of the four walls? Another thing about the seeing is even seeing Jesus correctly. Seeing Jesus correctly, as the Bible says, when we behold him, we are transformed from one level of glory to another. What do you see when you see Jesus? Amen. Right? Even for yourself. This is for yourself now. What do you see? When he came into my room, he came into my room as the light. But you know what Jesus said in the word? He said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness. And I must tell you, the same day I gave my life to Jesus, I was supernaturally healed of the spirit of depression. I never self-harmed again since that time. So what do you see? Do you see Jesus the way he is without a veil? What is a veil? A veil could be fear. A veil could be anything that stops us from seeing Jesus just like he is. A veil could be an experience, right? Sometimes some things happen, like this morning when Pastor, when you said the sound wasn't working and all of that. Sometimes what happened with some of us is that when things happen that are not so as we planned, sometimes we see differently. We say, oh, maybe God is not in this. No, 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 no. Sometimes we don't see correctly. Some people misunderstand with circumstance. Circumstances happen and it makes them not to see what, not to see correctly. So those veils has to go because we've got to see. So we don't see Jesus through a mirror of circumstance, through a mirror of past disappointment. He remains the same regardless of the situation. He is the King of glory. He is the Lord of Lords. He's the day star from on high. He's the bright and morning star. He is the living word. He is the one who does not change and circumstance does not change. He is the one who changes circumstance. For all power on heaven and on earth, they bow to the one who is the master of the universe. He is Lord and he is King. So from today, I pray for you, dear ones. Look at him without a veil. Without a veil. So we see him correctly. And we see him clearly. And I hear the word, the Lord even spoke to my heart right now. He said that so we do not lose our reward. I just heard the Holy Spirit just put that in my heart. We need to see him clearly so we don't lose the reward. Because some of us are so closer to the reward, closer to what you've been praying.
Amen.
Closer to the blessing that God has promised you. So that you don't lose the reward, so that you don't lose it.
Amen.
We need to see him clearly. Amen. It's so close. It's so close. Hallelujah. So that's one of the things that I was saying about this. He is more glorious than we can ever think or imagine. He is so beautiful. He is Lord. And before I go into the other stuff, Revelation chapter 4, what did he say? He said there's a door that is open in heaven.
Amen.
Right? Come up higher. I saw a door.
Yes.
Do you know there is a door? Right?
Yes.
There's probably a literal portal. Wow. There's a door that's open in heaven. And who opened that door? Jesus just ascending, boom, into the heavens. Bam. He opens the door for all of us that are believers, that believe in him as our Lord and Savior. Right? He brought us into a new dimension. He brought us into a transition where it was not just a high priest that would go into the Holy of Holies as in the Old Testament. He said, come up higher. Come up higher. For there is a door. There is a door. There is a door. And I'm going to pray right at the end of the meeting for all of us. Because there's a door that is open. What does that mean? What does that mean? When there's a door that is opened, it means there's revelations, there's encounters that are waiting for us to see. But what does he want us to see? It means there's going to be increase of dreams and visions. Because whenever there's an outpouring of the Spirit, as is spoken in the book of Joel chapter 2, for in the end I'll pour out my Spirit upon all flesh, and you will have visions. So there will be even more, and it will be clear. You will see clearer, you will understand clearer. So I will pray for us. Right? And then so what else did I see? As I sat down in the room in the early hours of the morning, first of all, I saw a barrel. Do you know what a barrel is? A barrel, I don't know if you barrel, like a, yes, thank you, like a keg, right? Like a barrel. But I saw, you know, like a keg. I saw, first of all, one barrel, and then I saw several barrels. And then what are these barrels? What are these barrels? What do you think these barrels are? It said it's all of you, the living temple. What did I see with that? The barrels were being filled with waters. So I'm saying God, even because even with me, I'm receiving for the church eyes to see. What do you want me to see? And then I saw several barrels.
Amen.
And then I said, hey, and then as he's showing me, I think of John chapter 2. What was the first miracle of Jesus? As he's going to turn the water into wine, what did he say? Bring the barrel, fill it with water. Bring the barrels and fill it with water.
Yeah.
Right? So, yeah, so we are filled. When we are so filled, Ephesians 5:18, he said, be filled with the Holy Spirit. So what happened when you're filled with him? There's a new wine that's about to be poured out. And so the more that we are filled of him, this is an era of the new. There was a transition. The Lord spoke to me from the time of the COVID. You know, 2020 is an era of a new wine. And that's why things look so different. New wine and a new wineskin. What is a new wine? What did Jesus do for the sake of the young ones who are here? John chapter 2. There was no more wine. And what did Jesus do? Jesus said, everybody fill the keg with water. And when the keg filled with water, what happened? There was a miracle. The water turned to wine, right? So what the wine of the Spirit talks about a move of God. Okay, so what happens? The move of God, right? There's a move of the new wine of God. So when the barrels are filled with water, so when you are filled, how do you get filled? Ephesians 5:18 said, be not drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit. So how do you get filled? It says, singing to ourselves with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Imagine what will happen if we actually try that. Like every day, we take the psalm and we're singing, Whatever psalm that the Lord laid on your heart, right? And then you start singing it. Start singing spiritual song in your heart to the Lord over and over again in your heart. Worshiping, listening to and worship music. I soak to worship music even when I sleep at night. And so what happens when we're filled? The new wine. And let me give you a testimony of a dream that I had. Because you can have that experience of actually being feeling like you are intoxicated with the Holy Spirit. Have you felt that before? That's the wine. So in the physical, when people drink wine, they like they get drunk. Woo. But then in the spirit, what happens if you decide to actually get filled with the Holy Spirit instead, right? So Jesus, when he was about to turn the water into wine, he commanded to fill the barrels. And the Lord said, we are the living temples. So what happens when we are constantly being filled? Being filled, what will happen? We're going to be filled with the waters. What is going to, the new wine of God. We're going to begin to experience the new wine, a state of heavenly intoxication that is totally wonderful. Because what does that do for you? It makes you to lose the fear of man. It makes you to lose shame. So you're not ashamed. You're not thinking, I can stand here. Like people would, I have a school, like the school we're talking, the school of, I'm the director of the Harvest of the Nations, and we meet on Zoom. Right? So I'm standing my next school on August the 5th, the school of the prophets. So I remember when I did this school and the Spirit of God just blows on us, even though we are on Zoom. And then there was this lovely lady, very gentle, 70-something-year-old lady from the Isle of Wight in the United Kingdom. Very gentle woman. Then the Spirit of God just moves upon her as she attends the school. She said, Ella, I don't recognize myself anymore. What happened? There is a new wine. She is experiencing a new wine. She has no more shame. She says she walked in the street of Isle of Wight. She heard the Holy Spirit say to her, go and buy a megaphone. She bought a megaphone. What do you want me to do with it? Stand and preach. She said, I'm not that type of person. But she did it anyway. Why is that? It lets you lose the sense of I am this, I am that. It makes you see that it's all about Jesus. That's the way it's supposed to be. That it's all about Jesus, whatever we do.